Welcome to Talks from the Bible. Israel has come to the Jordan River. They are to cross over the river and inhabit the land of Canaan. This land had been promised by God to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Joshua, who now leads the nation of Israel, sends spies into the land of Canaan. Those spies are protected and housed by a woman named Rahab. Rahab is a harlot, but Rahab confesses to these spies her faith in the God of Israel. She has heard of the conquest that Israel has already made as they have traveled through the wilderness and come to the Jordan River. She desires that when they come into the land, into the city of Jericho, that they are to protect her and her family. Because of the gracious act that she had shown toward the spies, she is assured of the promise that she will be protected by the nation of Israel. Rahab is a harlot, but Rahab, because of her faith in God, because of her belief in the power of God, and her confession of that faith, would become the grandmother of David. She would find herself mentioned in the genealogy of Jesus in Matthew chapter 1. She would be mentioned as a woman of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. And she would stand alongside Abraham in James chapter 2 as a woman of faith and works. When the children of Israel cross over the Jordan, they will conquer the city of Jericho. God has given them specific instructions as to how this city is to be taken. They are to march around the city of Jericho one time for 6 days. They are to march around the city on the seventh day 7 times. Then they are to give a great shout, blow the trumpets of ram's horns, and the city walls will fall down. The nation of Israel obeys this command. They follow the exact and precise instructions of God. They march around the city one time each day for 6 days. On the seventh day, they march around the city 7 times. Give a shout, clap their hands, blow the trumpets, and the walls fall down, and Jericho is conquered by Israel. God had instructed Israel that they were not to take anything from the city because the city was accursed. In Joshua chapter 7, the nation of Israel goes to battle against Ai. Ai is a much smaller nation, a less inferior army than Jericho. Joshua only sends 3,000 men to battle against Ai. Israel loses the battle. 36 of Joshua's best soldiers are killed. Joshua inquires of God why such has taken place. And God tells Joshua that there is sin in the camp. There is sin in the land. The nation of Israel had been defeated because of sin. A man by the name of Achan had taken from the city of Jericho some garments, shekels of gold and silver. He had hidden these for himself and for his family. God had said, "Take nothing from the city of Jericho," and he meant it. In Joshua 7 and verse 11, God explains to Joshua why Israel has been defeated in this battle. "Israel hath sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen, and dissembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff." Achan was discovered as being the one who had taken the accursed thing, had stolen, and had hidden it among his stuff. Achan and his family were taken and stoned to death, and their bodies were burned. God had instructed Israel not to take anything from Jericho because the city was cursed. but they had not obeyed that command. The nation of Israel suffered because of the sin of Achan. And God's confession was given as the reason for this defeat, that there was sin in the land. As I examine the landscape of our culture, as I listen and observe, I believe that there is sin in the land. Sometimes we glorify sin. Sometimes we herald sin as the way that we ought to live, the manner of life that we ought to pursue. But God is opposed to sin. God becomes angry with sin. God will punish sin and iniquity. Regardless of if the sin is the sin of an individual or the sin of a nation, God will punish that sin. Israel was punished because Achan did not obey God and because he transgressed the covenant that God had made with Israel. In Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 4, Isaiah speaks to the culture of his day and says, "Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward." Isaiah the prophet preached the word of the Lord in a land of sin. There was iniquity among the nation of Judah and Israel as Isaiah prophesied the word of God. Isaiah describes his day and the people of that day as sinful, laden with iniquity, evildoers, corruptors. They were such because they had forsaken the Lord, and having forsaken Him, they had provoked Him unto anger. They had gone backward instead of forward. Sin will corrupt a people. Sin will corrupt a nation. Sin will corrupt an individual. In the Old Testament book of Jonah, chapter 1, verse 2, Jonah the prophet is instructed by God, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me." In the case of Israel, in the day of Isaiah, in the time of Jonah, God was aware of their sin, their iniquity, and their corruption. God is always aware of our transgression. God is aware of us as we live in this day and time. God knows how we live, how we behave, and what we think. God has an all-seeing eye that pierces the heart of every individual and knows the thoughts of that individual and the lifestyle that comes because of those thoughts. Jonah was to cry out against the evil of his time. Isaiah cried out against the evil of his day. We are to cry out against sin and iniquity. Those who preach the gospel of Jesus Christ are to identify sin, and they are to preach against sin. They are to proclaim the commandment of God and the way that God would have us to live and have us to walk. God is not pleased with wickedness. In the Old Testament, we see God's displeasure with wickedness. In the New Testament, we see God's displeasure with wickedness. Wickedness violates the very nature of God. Wickedness goes against the commandment of God. And God is always displeased with iniquity. Psalm 7, verse 11, "God judgeth the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day." Supposedly, as we listen to many, God has the nature of love, mercy, kindness, goodness, compassion. We do not think of God as being angry. We do not think of God as being displeased. But the psalmist declares unto us that God is angry with the wicked every day. God is pleased with the righteous. God is displeased with the wicked. Wickedness violates the will and the commandment of God. Wickedness goes against who God is and the blessings that God will bring upon us. Proverbs 15, verse 9, "The way of the wicked is an abomination unto the Lord, but he loveth him that followeth after righteousness." One can follow the way of wickedness, or one can follow the way of righteousness. These are the only two ways in which humanity can engage. We are either wicked or we are righteous. We are either right with God or we are wrong with God. And wickedness is an abomination unto the Lord. God despises, even hates, that which is wicked. And therefore God becomes angry with those who live in wickedness. Wickedness is the trend of many, many people. Wickedness is the way in which many, many people have chosen to live their lives. God is not pleased with those individuals. God is not pleased with a world, with a nation, with an individual who lives in wickedness. We can see the displeasure of God in the Old Testament with wickedness. God told Jonah, "You give Nineveh 40 days to repent, or else I'm going to bring my wrath upon them." God was angry with the nation of Nineveh. But we see that when Jonah preached the gospel to Nineveh, the Ninevites repented. They turned from their wicked way. They sought that God would repent of the destruction that he was going to bring upon them. And as a result of their repentance, their change of lifestyle, God did not destroy them. Nineveh was able to continue because they chose to turn from their wickedness and serve God. We need to understand the anger of the Lord. We need to see that God is displeased and becomes angry with a people and with a nation who live in unrighteousness and ungodliness. The lifestyle of the ungodly and the wicked bring the displeasure and the anger of God. In Genesis 6, verses 11 through 13, "The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, The end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth." God was displeased with the world that he had created. The scripture says that God even repented that he had made man. God had created man in his image, and in the image of God we are to live and abide. We are to perfect the image of God in our lives. We are to walk in righteousness and holiness and godliness. We are to know the difference between what is right and what is wrong, what is pleasing unto God and what is displeasing unto God. We are to know that which is acceptable and that which is unacceptable. God told Cain in the beginning of time that if he did as God had commanded him, then he would be accepted before God. But if he chose not to live as God had commanded, if he chose not to follow the ordinance of God, then sin would lie at his door. As God looks upon the earth, he sees that the earth is corrupt. God decides whether or not we are corrupt. The earth was corrupt before God as God looked upon the earth. God looks upon the lives of individuals today. He looks upon the nations of the world today. Are we corrupt in his eyes, or are we righteous in his eyes? Are we seeking to do what is right, or do we seek to do what is wrong? We stand before the vision of God. The earth was corrupt. It was filled with violence. And behold, God said that he would destroy them with the earth. God decided that he would destroy the earth. And so he brought the flood upon the world. The Bible says that all that breathed, with the exception of Noah, his family, and the animals and the living creatures that were upon the ark, died in the flood. Can you imagine dying in a flood? Can you imagine the waters getting deeper and deeper and deeper each day? Day after day, there is a struggle to stay alive. You can imagine the struggle that one would have with drowning. And yet God brought this destruction upon the earth. Why? Because God saw that the earth was corrupt. We must do right in the sight of God. We must live righteously in the sight of God. We cannot follow any particular lifestyle that we might choose to follow. We cannot engage in any activity in which we might choose to engage. We are to know through the reading of the Bible, through the study of the Word of God, whether our action and our thought is right or is wrong, whether or not it is acceptable or unacceptable in the sight of God. We are not to do what man says, but rather we are to do what God says. We are not to follow the ordinance of humanity and even our own thinking, but rather we are to follow the law of God. God is not pleased with wickedness. Is God pleased with us today? Is he pleased with all of the various activities in which humanity chooses to engage? Is he pleased with the sinfulness of a nation that chooses a lifestyle that is ungodly and perverse before God? Sin brings death. Because of sin, we die. Ezekiel 18:20, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Death or sin brings death. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If we seek to live in pleasure here, then we will die. If we seek to serve God here in this world, then we will live. Death is separation from God. We are separated from God because of sin. When we choose not to follow the way of God and live according to the will of God, then we are in violation of the will of God, and as a result, we are separated from God. Sin violates the nature of God, the character of God, and sin brings death. This is God's verdict upon sin. In the very beginning of time, God instructed Adam and Eve that if they ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which was forbidden unto them, in that day they would die. They would be separated from God. As we read this story in Genesis 1 through 3, we find that Eve listened to the temptation, the enticement of the devil. The devil told her exactly the opposite of what God had told her. The devil told her that she would become as God. She would be as wise as God. She would know the difference between good and evil. It was right for her to eat of this forbidden tree. God said, "Do not eat the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." Do not. God meant what he said. God means what he says. When we choose to go against the word of God, we bring his wrath upon us. It is not the fault of God. It is our fault because we have made the wrong choice in our life. What happened to Adam and Eve because they did what the devil enticed them to do? They were driven from the garden. God walked in that garden in the cool of the evening. God had communion with Adam and Eve, but God drives them from the garden. They had displeased God, and death came upon them through their separation from God. God no longer had an association with them because they had violated his will. Indeed, the soul that sins it shall die. That soul shall be separated from God, both now and in the world to come. James 1:14-15. Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Man is tempted because of his own lust. We lust after evil things. We have a fleshly desire. This is lust. The devil appeals to our flesh. The devil tempts us in the flesh, and we are drawn away of our own lust. This is not the fault of God. God cannot be blamed for our sin, nor for the sin of any other individual. Each man is tempted by the devil, and we are drawn away of our own lust. Adam and Eve listened to the devil. We listen to the devil. The devil entices us. The devil tempts us. He appeals to our flesh, and we lust, and therefore lust brings forth sin. Temptation does not bring sin. Lust, when it is conceived, brings forth sin. When we act upon our lust, when we commit the lustful act, then we sin, and sin brings forth death. Temptation, enticement, lust, sin, death. Sin always brings death. Good, comfort, peace, hope, tranquility never come from sin. Sin serves the flesh. Sin appeals to the lust of the flesh. And when we engage in sin, having surrendered our will to the lust of the flesh, we die. We are separated from God. 1 Timothy 5:6, but she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. The Apostle Paul is discussing widowhood in 1 Timothy 5. He's discussing the obligation of the church toward the widow, but he is also discussing the lifestyle of the widow. We see the widow who is godly and who seeks to please God, but we also see the widow that lives according to her own will and her own pleasure, and she that lives in pleasure is dead even while she lives. Sin never brings real fulfillment. Sin never brings lasting peace or happiness. While we sin and live in sin, committing the pleasures of this world, engaging in the pleasures of this life, we are dead even while we live. There is within Scripture the eternal verdict of the wicked. God will judge humanity. God will judge us according to our works. He will decide our eternal fate according to the life that we have lived. The sins in which we have engaged are the righteousness that we by which we have lived. Psalms 9:17, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. There is a place which the Bible calls hell. This is a place of darkness. This is a place of unending, enduring pain. This is a place of lasting separation from the God of heaven. Can you imagine abiding in such a place? And yet the wicked shall be turned into hell, and every nation that forgets God. Malachi 4:1, for behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. The destruction that God is going to bring upon wickedness is going to be complete and full. There will not be either root nor branch left. The wicked and the proud shall burn as stubble. Have you ever thrown grass, stubble, into the fire and watched the consumption? This is the description of the wicked. They shall burn as stubble, but they shall not be extinguished. They shall not be completely burned up. Hell is a place that will endure, that will continue, that will abide as long as God lives, and God is eternal. God is everlasting. Then hell will continue. As long as the righteous live in heaven, the wicked will abide in hell. The eternal verdict of sin is hell. The wicked will be cast into the eternal abyss, in the place that burns with fire and brimstone. The day is coming, says the prophet, that shall burn as an oven. 2 Peter 3 and verse 7, "But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men." God promised following the flood that he would never again destroy the earth by water. But Peter proclaims that God will destroy the earth by fire. The heavens and the earth are reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. God will judge the ungodly. They will burn. The heavens and the earth are kept in store. Time continues. Opportunity abides. The wicked can turn from his wicked way, but the righteous can also turn from their righteous way. Those who are saved by the grace of God can fall from that grace and remove themselves from God's favor, and they will serve the same eternal fate as the wicked. But the world will one day burn, and the wicked will be burned. Jesus, in Matthew chapter 13, at verses 41 and 42, spoke, "The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth." Jesus Christ speaks of the eternal punishment of the wicked. He speaks of the eternal fate of those who have displeased Almighty God. There will be a time when God will send forth his angels. Their purpose will be to gather out of his kingdom everything that offends and them which do iniquity. And Jesus said, "They shall cast them into a furnace of fire." The wicked shall be cast into a furnace of fire. The wicked shall be thrown into the eternal lake that burns with fire and brimstone. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Can you imagine the pain, the groaning, the crying, the screaming that will erupt from the abyss of the wicked? God is displeased with wickedness because wickedness separates from himself, and there is the punishment for wickedness. God is righteous in all that he does. God wants us to be good. He wants us to behave. He wants us to live according to divine law. When we fail to do so, we sin. When we go back from his commandment, when we fail to keep his ordinance, we sin. When we live a lifestyle that is corrupt and perverse and wicked in the sight of God, we sin, we displease God. Israel was cursed in battle because of sin. Our life can be cursed because of sin. We must not be separated from God. We must obey God, follow God, live according to the will and the commandment of God, so that we might be saved rather than punished. Eternal life awaits the righteous. Eternal death awaits the wicked and the sinful. Talks from the Bible are brought to you by the Church of Christ at South Commerce Street in Somerville, Georgia.